The Coffee with Your Therapist podcast is sponsored by MindGuard Mental Health Tracking and Management. We help psychotherapists and their clients by enabling the clients to report on their mental health while waiting to enter therapy. We are particularly focused on young people and university-aged people, and we will be very interested in talking to clinics and services who address this sector. The benefits to the therapist is that when their client enters therapy, you will already have a deep background profile of how the client perceives their own mental health. The benefit for the client is that they will receive encouraging and supportive feedback while they are waiting to start therapy. Please contact Dr. Edel Crean via LinkedIn for more information. Thank you.
You're famous. I know you're famous. I'm sure you're famous in Cork agriculture anyway, Peter. So, but and nationally. So I'm talking to Peter Hines. Is that, am I pronouncing that correctly, Peter? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah. Peter is and I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about here. He's a beef farmer in Cork. Is that what you
dairy do? Farmer, Paddy? Yeah, dairy okay. Farmer.
But I didn't know if the Holstein was for beef or milk. Tells you how much I know about farming. But Peter and his family were on a TV program here in Ireland called It Takes a Village, which is where a young teenager from the city usually goes to a farm or a country village and they get an experience outside their own normal experience. And Peter and his family were very kind to a lovely young chap, and I asked Peter if you would mind coming on the podcast, and he also has great interest in mental health. So yeah, Peter, thanks for coming on. I know you've had a hard
delight to be on the podcast, Paddy, and a huge thanks for inviting me on. It's always wonderful to connect to new people and I suppose share a few thoughts with a new audience. So thank you for having me on.
No, I think people will find what you're going to say is very interesting. So look, you were telling me, and I just saw, again, like to me, when the rain comes, it means I put on my boots, my raincoat, but when I'm walking the dog. But it's been, the winter's been wet and hard on farmers, you were saying.
Yeah, it's probably been the hardest 6 months I've ever had farming. And I think the same for most farmers. It's, you know, I'm farming at 14 years now on dairy farming. We've expanded the herd greatly. And I think, you know, we have to be real. Climate change is affecting so many people across the world, but it's doing it right here in Ireland. And how the seasons have changed in 14 years is, it's really starting to impact farming here and how we produce food. And I guess, you know, as much as it challenges us, it puts a huge mental strain on a lot of farming families right across Ireland and right across the world. And, you know, many people will see that farming often comes in for criticism that it contributes to climate change. I think, you know, we're at the very forefront of climate change. And I would know a lot of farmers in Kenya and in the Southern Hemisphere, in the US and Canada. And, you know, we're dealing with it day in, day out. That's our work environment. And so I think we, you know, we're the very people that want to make huge changes to help climate change. But unfortunately, when food is priced so cheap, market returns are weak to farmers. And trying to invest in reducing emissions and dealing with climate change at the same time, you're in some ways getting a double whammy. Like, so it's and it's one of the reasons.
And Peter, it's a very skilled job. I mean, you've also, you're most farm, maybe this isn't true, most farmers are sort of solo business people, and they're out from very early in the morning to late at night. I mean, you must get some satisfaction, I'm sure, but the long hours must be telling, particularly when this weather is the way it is.
It's, I think you have to be a jack of all trades to be a farmer and a master of none, but you know, we give it a bash anyway. And, to be God, the gospel truth is, and I always say this, we have three daughters, and two of them are hugely passionate about dairy cows. And I say to my 17-year-old the whole time, you have to love the cow that walks in the back of the parlour 7 days a week, because if you don't love it, you'll never stick it, because there's no money in the world will pay you for the hours you put in. And, you know, I'm not one to advocate working ridiculous hours, but I suppose to call a spade this spring, I'm working 100 hours a week. I'm bloody exhausted, but I know I'm very conscious of where my, you know, where my limit is. So I can work 100 hours a week, and I have a plan in place for where time for Pete is, and time with my wife and stuff. And we're going to Paris next week, and we planned it 2 months ago, because it was like there was an end in sight and something to look forward to. And I think, you know, no matter what profession you work at in life, you must make space for yourself and space for family, because look, jobs will come and go, careers will come and go, businesses will come and go, but at the end of the day, it's looking after yourself and family. That's what is the most important thing, and I think we should always be mindful of that.
Well, I think that's very good advice, Peter, and I've noticed that myself in my life. Is at the end of the day, you know, I've had different jobs, and at the time they seem very important, and I'd work hard at them, and I may feel stressed about them, but at the end of the day, once you've quit that job, you're doing something else, and you can't even remember what it was about. But your close family are the ones that are there with you every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And likewise, I think no matter what career you're in, you know, we have a huge passion for cows. We absolutely love what we do, even though sometimes it's torturous. But I think, you know, whatever you do in life, you have to really enjoy it, and then, you know, it makes it a lot easier. And I have a friend in Paris there, and she studied art. Then she studied interior design. She's qualified in law, and eventually she moved to Paris, and she's one of the top photographers in Paris. Mm. And she's so much talent. She's qualified in so many different things, but she loves what she does now, and it's. You know, she always says to me, she said during the summer there, she's really, really busy, and she could be doing shoots in the morning and shoots in the evening, but she said it's not work because she loves it.
I was just going to say that if you're doing something you love, you'll never work a day in your life, will you? I mean, it's sort of like it's engrossing, and you don't resent having to put the hours in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's, I think that's always one of the strongest messages I would give to a young person, is find what you love in life, and what you want to work at, and what you really enjoy working at, and it will make your life so much easier. You know, after that, all you really need to do is surround yourself with positive mentors, and I think that's a big message for young people these days in a world that is dominated by social media, that it's, social media is what it is. I mean, I can't tell people not to go on it. I know the negativity, I know the positivity. I have friends all over the world through social media. It can be a really nasty and cruel place at times too, but it's the mentors that you surround yourself at any age in life. They are the people, job, both young and old, that will impact your outlook on life and also how you operate in business.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like I've been on social media for a good while now, and I've sort of detached myself from it emotionally, shall I say. So there's say Twitter now, like enjoy a lot of the stuff on Twitter, but occasionally you might say something and some stranger with no name starts arguing with you. And you're arguing with them. After a while, I'm thinking, what the hell is this all about? And so really, to be honest, I sort of made up my mind, like, if someone starts arguing with me, I just mute them. I just don't get into it, because it's sort of pointless. But, you know, against that, the other thing, on Facebook, I actually met a few guys who we went there for coffee and we got to be friends, you know. So if you manage it, you can help. But for younger people, I think it's a big ask it's a design to engross them in and, you know, make I don't think it creates a good atmosphere for them. Everything's comparison or something like that, and I think that's the real danger of it. So I notice you guys take the phones off the teenagers that come down for the Takes a Village program. I don't know, how do you manage your own kids?
I think, to be fair, they've, you know, they've grown up with us on social media, and we weren't actually on social media until 2017 when we won the Farmer of the Year, and I suppose we just ended up doing a lot of stuff publicly then, and a good bit on TV, and we both write for national newspapers, and I suppose in some ways the kids have seen the friends we've made, but also, you know, some of the really nasty sides of social media, and it's probably been a phenomenal education for them, that they've learned from us how to deal with it themselves. And I think there's an agreement in the house that if there's a problem on social media, one of the kids would come and say it to myself or Paul and say, look, this has happened, what do I do here? So they're, you know, we try and let them, give them enough space to be open. And I think it was something that we tried to do with Carl too, when he was down with us for Raised by the Village too, was that if you're not happy with something, say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the most, from a mental health perspective, that's probably the best advice I could give to anyone in the world. It's how we deal with our kids here. We have a lot of students from veterinary colleges around the world that come to us, and it's always the number one golden rule when someone walks through the back door, whether they're here for a week or a month, if you're not happy with something, just say it. Mm-hmm. And it can, you know, it's a problem that gets dealt with then. And I think, you know, for someone that's struggling with their mental health, it's, there is so much support out there, and there's so much, people are so mindful of, you know, how mental health can challenge people these days, that, you know, people are willing to listen. And it's probably, you know, it's something I had to learn myself in life, that somebody was always willing to listen when I did struggle with my own mental health. But, you know, it's whether you talk to a counselor or someone in the Samaritans or your best mate, or even somebody that you might only see once a year, but that you really, really trust, that, you know, you go and say, you know, finding things tough. You don't even have to give a big explanation. It's, something as simple as saying, I need help.
Yeah, you know? It takes a lot of bravery.
And it opens the conversation.
Yeah, no, I think that takes a lot of courage, Peter, to say that, but it's the crack in the door, I think, that helps people. And, No, everyone's suffered from mental health issues, and reaching out is probably the hardest thing to think about, but actually it's the, once you do it, I think you just wonder why you didn't do it in the first place. It's sort of like, you live in this little box in your head and you think no one really will understand this, but once you reach out, you know, you'll be amazed at the help you will get. You touched on a good few things there, Peter, like, you know, about managing your time, you know, having a supportive family, having other interests. And, I think you've given us a good way for people to manage their own mental health issues. And, thanks for that. So in terms of your own relaxation, now I know you're off to Paris with your good wife, is what other things do you do to, you know, relax and enjoy yourself?
I love watching a bit of rugby, and even we did, our daughters there now, they show a lot of cows, and they show both here in Ireland and in the UK, and we love going off to big dairy shows for a weekend. And yeah, we still have the cows with us, but we take the best cows. Their legs have to stay at home and supply the milk. And in some ways it's a hobby, it's a passion, but it's still work for me. And I, honest to God, the number one thing for me is, and we have a good few friends there now, is going to Paris for one simple reason. I suppose when we write for the newspapers here, and we'd be reasonably well known, and we've done a few bits on TV. I love that space for ourselves where we're totally anonymous and nobody knows us, and you could just walk down the street. And I think it's kind of a French attitude anyway, that even if you're stone stark raving mad like me, they don't really care anyway. They just keep walking. So.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I found people in Paris very friendly.
We've some amazing friends there, and some really inspirational people, and people that have built phenomenal businesses and came from real, I guess, hard backgrounds, but realize that you can, follow your dreams. You can be whoever you want in life. You just need to work hard. But if you're willing to work hard, you still need to enjoy your life. And I think they're people that they found a phenomenal balance in that, built phenomenal careers. They have the best time in the world, and we have so much fun when we go over with them. But I think what I love about all those friends too is that, as busy as they are, they all support each other, and it's like one big support network. That, if one is needs a hand in business, they'll give them a hand, or each one of them has a different skill, and they'll sit down on a Saturday when they're not working, and well, I know how to do this, so I can help you with your business and that. And it's just a great way to have inspirational friends that will support each other and mentor each other.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear, even in a big city like Paris.
I think Paris mightn't be for everyone, but whatever you find in life, that you can make space for yourself. Whether it's going to a GA match, going to the races, going swimming, getting up on a bike, going to a city that you really enjoy, spending time with a mate or whatever. It's everyone has something different that is their getaway space, and it's about finding that. And then, when you know you're under pressure and you need a breakaway, that you can say, right, I'm going to do that now, because that's my time.
Yeah, no, that's good advice, Peter. I mean, I do that myself. And you're a Munster supporter, I guess. This is a fantastic time for Irish rugby, isn't it, really, overall?
Irish rugby has been phenomenal the last few years, and I think they're an inspiration to. I think they're an inspiration to anyone that's, maybe struggled with their mental health too. Irish rugby has learned to put as much emphasis on their mental game as their physical game, and it's really stood to them. And we're Tackle Your Feelings ambassadors for Rugby Players Ireland. There's some phenomenal ambassadors for the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, and they do a lot with young people now in schools, and it's broadened, and it's down in Australia too with the AFL. But I think it's taught players, but then gone on to teach the public that it's how you manage the simple things that puts you in such a strong position when the big game comes, when the pressure comes, that you can deal with it and be successful, but also overcome huge challenges. And I think I would encourage any of the listeners to look up Tackle Your Feelings on the internet, and they have a phenomenal app that's a great way of helping to manage your daily life, and that's all based on what they're teaching, what they're doing with rugby players. If a player has a bad game, they're going to get slated on social media, but they have to learn to block that out. Likewise, they can't be training to the limit 365 days a year. There has to be space for them and for family and for friends and downtime, and And there's certain times of the year and certain times of every 4 years that they need to peak within their careers. And it's about managing to, you know, when you know you need to be your best, that you're at the point where you can deliver.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's very good. I'll put the details up on the show card, Peter, so people can look that up. But listen, it's been brilliant having you on. I know it's been a long day for you, so especially appreciate you coming on and talking. So on the podcast, you get to nominate the playout song. So I'm looking forward to what you have in mind here, because you have a grin on your face and speak.
This could actually make the front page now, Paddy, of Agri Media in Ireland, because I'm going to go all out and declare that I'm a Swiftie.
Oh my God! Oh my God, Peter!
I'm gonna, and I listen to every type of music going, but I think life should always be upbeat, and I'm going with Taylor Swift, "Shake It Off." And I want everyone to crank up the volume, get up, get your asses up out of the seats, and give a boogie or give a shout out. And I think, you know, I was actually thinking about it when I was milking the cows this evening. And, you know, when you actually sing the song to yourself, there's some great tips in it, you know, because, you know, if you're on social media or whatever, the haters are always going to hate you. You can't change them. Just block them, mute them.
Brilliant, Peter. I love it. I'm shocked, but I love it. That was the last
song. If you see Farming Independent columnist declares he's a Swiftie, you heard it on Paddy's podcast first.
All right, brilliant. Thank you for that breaking news, Peter. Delighted to hear it. So thanks again for being on, and great to talk to you.
Really appreciate it, Paddy.
Shake it off.